prayer. Father, we ask and we receive wisdom and revelation, knowledge of your Son Jesus. We seek understanding this morning, that our minds be open to the truth that is in Christ. We behold him as he beholds us in him. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, this morning, we will be continuing our series, I think that was last year, on the law and the prophets. But this time around, we'll be focusing on the prophets. Hallelujah. So this is going to be quite some Bible study. And so you ready to study your Bible. Luke's Gospel 24. Luke's Gospel 24. And I'll read from verse 25. And then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? 27. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, notice what he said. O fools, slow of heart, to believe. Now, this is Jesus' first exhaustive Bible study. We're going to see that as we continue, but this is his first exhaustive Bible study. Did you observe that he said he showed them in all the scriptures? Because, and that means if you attend Jesus' meetings, you've got to have the Bible with you. Not true? If you attend, how are you? You gotta have your Bible in place. And that way that you can come for Jesus' service and you have a phone. You know, kind of stuff like that. You know, we have too many unserious Christians these days. How can you reduce the most important document in the world to an app on the phone? And that's all you got. You know, if you want to use an electronic Bible, then have something dedicated only for Bible study. Not the same phone, you have emails, you have stuff, movies, and then you have Bible in the midst of that. That's no longer holy. Amen. Well, you can call me old fashioned. No problem, as long as I have fashion. Hallelujah. So he said, oh fools, who have had to believe. That's the issue there, to believe. In other words, the scriptures were written for faith. To believe. To believe. Now the word believe is the word pisteuo. You know that already. 244 times it's used. Pisteuo, spelled for it. P-I-S-T-E-U-O. To believe all that the prophets had spoken. So he called them fools, slow of heart, because of unbelief. Because he says, to believe. Now, why did he say that? You just need to back up a little bit to see there was a discussion from those folks. Those folks, they were in his meetings. In fact, they were called disciples. So, he's talking with them. In verse 16, say they did not know who was speaking. In verse 16, they just saw him. Somehow, they didn't know he was him. So, he asked them questions. What are you guys talking about? And then they are, are you a stranger in Jerusalem? You're not aware of someone in Jesus of Nazareth who was a prophet and mighty indeed in word before God, verse 19, and all the people, and all the chief priests and all the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and then we crucified him. Then we trusted what this now. Look at what they said they trusted. this is funny. We trusted, in other words, we relied upon, we believed, okay, that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Beside all this, today is the third day since those things were done. These were his own disciples. We trusted that he will redeem Israel. So when they read the prophets, that's what their mind was on. We trusted that he will redeem Israel. And that was, that means they read the prophet, but this was their conclusion, that he will redeem Israel. Let's see what Jesus told them. And they said, well, they went and said, well, you know, they said the women of our company also astonished, who made us astonished, which were earlier the sepulchre, okay, when they found not his body. Can you imagine what? Was he stolen? You know, they found not his body. They came saying that they had seen a vision of angels that said he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said. But him they saw not. So he turned to them. Because you can see that they were relying on human testimony. So he turned to them and said, "All fools, slow of heart." Slow of heart. What do you mean fools? The word fools, you see it in Galatians 3:1. Paul says, "O foolish Galatians." It's to describe an action. Their words were so foolish. Actually, some of the verses say, "Oh, stupid." So, you believe that the Holy Ghost can say you're stupid? You believe that? The Holy Ghost is talking to you. And he says, "You're so stupid." You will say, "I bind you, devil," because the Holy Spirit can say you're stupid when you are. And also, you can tell a fellow believer he's stupid in love. Praise God. I said, praise God. If some folks were in that service, they would have walked out on Jesus. How can a man of God be talking like that? Is that a man of God? He's an old fool. Because their communication was stupid. So what? In fact, Paul repeated his own one more time. He said, "Oh, foolish Galatians." Then verse 3 said, "Are you so foolish?" Some guys will have walked out on him. What? Are you so foolish? The Amplifier says, "Oh, thoughtless, stupid Galatians." Some of you are so quiet about that. Guess you've never seen it like that. Sometimes there's some believers when they read that verse of the Bible, they know that God is talking to them. Hallelujah. And then you see Romans 1:14. Paul talked about foolish folks according to the Lord. Then 1 Timothy 6:9, those who talking about doctrine say they are foolish questions. 1 Timothy 6:9. Titus 3:7. Then it says slow of heart. Now the word foolish is the word anaitos. A-N-A-E-T-O-S. It means not to think through a matter. Not to think, you're not thinking through a matter. You're not thinking through. That is, if things were said to you and you didn't think through. Have you ever spoken to people before and then the kind of questions they ask you, say, "Were you not listening to me?" "Yes, I was listening to you." I kind of found it funny. One day, I was writing something and I said, responses from people that don't know that are, I don't know what I said, maybe from folks who don't have precise knowledge. So I posted, "Christ has paid for your sins. Salvation is eternal." So, response. "So no matter what you do, you're saved." So I kept giving some things and I put response of people who don't think through. And then somebody just said, "This is a doctrine from hell. What you do matters." Chai! Aren't you? That kind of felt interestingly. He's a reverend gentleman, about 70 years old, but he's stupid. Can't you just think through? Read through. There's wisdom in not responding immediately. Sometimes when you are quiet, they'll think you know a lot. They don't know you're not clear. You know? So you've got to think through. Praise the Lord. And don't forget. Now, anaitos is let me go over this. It's used for those who don't think through a matter. It's the same way Paul was saying to the Galatian church, "How can you, with all I've taught you, and somebody comes around and he still tells you to follow Moses, and you're still doing it? Is that you foolish? Think through what I said. Think through what I've taught you." So he calls them fools. Slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. The other word, he says, so they are foolish. They may not be foolish as far as science, or foolish about IT, or foolish about commerce, but as far as scriptures, they didn't think through. You know, you have Christians that think a lot about their own professional discipline. They spend time to think through this one, think through that one, think through. But when it comes to the Bible, you're thinking like, are you not saying? Are you not saying? That's a foolish person. Come on, give yourself some brain. Praise God. If you can attend to your professional discipline with such diligence, how would you take the Bible just on the surface? You've got to think through. So, he says, slow of heart. The word slow of heart is from the word bradus. Bradus, B-R-A-D-U-S. Used in James 1:19. Slow to speak, slow to wrath. It means deliberately taking your time. That is, you are just lazy at it. This one is a negative one. You are just lazy at it. As we're preaching this morning, some folks are not thinking. I don't believe in this place. I believe the best of you. Just then. What is the real sermon? Say, what's the thing? Say it. Just say it. Simple yes or no. No, you got to think. So Jesus expects us to think when the word of God is taught. You must think. Hallelujah. What, you know, in the second service, I'm going to handle something about this area. But I was telling someone the other day, I said, curiosity does not lead to revelation knowledge. Curiosity. He said, there are some lost books of the Bible. I said, you are going to get lost. The ones we have found, found us. The ones that are lost, you will get lost. How do you even know they belong to the Bible? Somebody told you. You need more than deliverance. You need a comb. You know what I mean? Now, so he said, all fools. Now that word brados, it means when your mind is inactive, slow of heart, is inactive. You are in the service. And you are still wondering whether Chelsea can go to Europa League. Forget that, man. Slow of heart means your mind is just not active. You are hearing the word and say, why is that projector off? Soon as somebody has put it on. Is that what? You know, your mind should be active. And that's why churches that get their members engaged in entertainment before the word, they are doing them a lot of injustice. You're already tired. You have jumped all over the auditorium. After jumping, they now bring a comedian. You now laugh. Then somebody comes to give testimony full of all sorts. Unbelief is there, faith is there, lies are there. Then now when the choir comes to demonstrate whether they can sing a reality show. Ah, oh, hey, oh, your mind is already busy. They say, time for the sermon. In the book of Malachi. Then, yes, yeah, there's some jokes. You have to be foolish. That one, they made you foolish. Because the real reason why you come to church, why we come together, a primary purpose is to learn God's word. That's why we come. If that isn't given preeminence, then you have an entertainment center. Are you still there? Alright, so, he says to believe, and I want to look at this. To believe all! And I want you to pay attention because that's how I'm going to start this series. Don't forget we have law and the prophets. That means we already had a priority. This is a continuation of law and the prophets. I don't know how many sessions that was. Who can remember? About 5, 6, 7. 10, about 10, 11. Alright. Okay, you guys should know. So, that means we have had 11 sessions before now on this subject where we focus on the law of Moses, most importantly, in that one. And this time around, we're going to focus on the prophets. Is that okay? And the prophets are a fallout of the law of Moses. You'll find some interrelationship between them as we study. Okay, so, look at the word, to believe all. Now, there's a danger in using the word all out of context. There's a danger in using the word all out of context. Now, the word all could mean everything you got to believe, everything that the prophet said. And there are definitely some things that if Jesus says that, that's going to be some kind of stuff. Look at Isaiah 45. A prophet. Before I get to Isaiah, there's one Okay, Isaiah 42. Hear ye deaf. Verse 18. And look ye blind that you may see. Who is blind but my servant? Deaf as my messenger that I have sent. Who is blind as he that is perfect? I'm blind as the Lord's servant. Seeing many things, but thou observe not. Open the ears, but he hears not. That's quite confusing. That you don't know what he talking about. As we study, we would be looking at some things that the prophet said. And you wonder, well, am I supposed to believe this? Praise God. Because Jesus just said, believe all the prophets have spoken. Look at Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54. Verse 16. Behold, I have created the smith that blows the coals in the fire, that brings forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. So I must believe that God created the waster. Or, when you just read verse 8. In the little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness have I had mercy on thee, say the Lord thy Redeemer. These are the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I will no longer be wroth with you, nor rebuke you. That's contradictory. Right? Come on. Is that contradictory? He won't bear to say, I have mercy all the time. That's the way I get in the destroyer, in case I change my mind. So, in other words, I can't believe, if Jesus said I should believe all that the prophet has spoken, then I'm going to have some rough time. I don't know why I forgot that verse this morning. I don't know what happened this morning. I formed the darkness and I formed the light. And he said, huh? And he said, believe all that the prophet has spoken. And that's the danger of using the word all for all things. Are you still there? For example, Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, you turn there quickly. Say, all things work together for good. Yeah. Even practically, that doesn't make sense. Practically, all things work together for good. Yeah, fire working together with petrol. Isn't that funny? Fire working with petrol. Let's just use something that you don't need. On a shirt. I don't want to say your house. That can't work together for good. All things work together for good. Sickness doesn't work together for good. Amen. But then, the danger of using the word all, anyhow, or for all things, is because the word all is the word P-A-S in the Greek, pass, which is specific. Specific. Romans, look at Romans 8:28, for example, where it says, all things work together for good. Some Greek scholars put it, panteis, that is, all these things walk together for good. What are these things? Then you read verse 29. Verse 29 says, to whom he did foreknow, alright, he predestinated to conform to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Then verse 30, to whom he did foreknow, to them he, to predestinate, he called, to them that he called, he justified, to whom he justified, them he also glorified. Verse 30. Then verse 31. Read verse 31. To what? These things. That means verse 28 is explained now. These things, if God be for us, who can be against us? He will spare not his own son. Son. But freely give him up for us. Shall he not with him freely give us of all things? Now, you know, funny thing, people say, all things. They say, oh, they give you all things. That husband you're looking for is yours. Hallelujah. That job you're looking for. Shut up. You're making the same mistake. Freely give us all things. What are the all things? Verse 29 and verse 30. Hallelujah. Is that clear? Come on. So what? Come on. Are you following this? There's all things. Time for you to give us of all things. Praise God. You got it? Tell me all things. All things. No. All these things. For example, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things. Hey, please. Give me a house on Banana Island now. No, that's not what I'm talking about. All things. So see what's on pastor's mind. Banana Island. What about you? What's on your mind? Heaven? Praise God. I can do all things. No. All these things. What are the things? Said, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. I know how not to have, and I know how to have. I can do all these things. Praise God. Come on. Are you there? Is this getting there? Through Christ that strengthens me. Nothing for your physics 101. Go study, brother. So you didn't read body the gun. I can do all things. Brother, one of them is that you will learn to do carryover. I can do all things. I can do all these things. Praise God. See out there? Through Christ, that strength is me. That's why the word these things, that Romans 8:28, is the word hatoi. That is, H-O-U-T-O-S. T-O-U-T-O and H-A-U-T-E. Specific. So, when you see the word all has to be specific. Hallelujah. Well, here, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All who? All. No. We're in context. Who are the all he's talking about? I showed it before. That right in Romans, he says, Jacob and Esau, while in the womb, had not yet done anything good or bad. Now I will tell you, it's not true to say anybody born into this world is born a sinner. No, not true. It's a doctrine that people don't know why they believe. Amen. You go get the what's the material? Okay. Law in Genesis, what? 1. What else? Huh? 1 and 3. There's one more. What? You go get the material. Everybody born in this world is born a sinner. Says who told you that? Praise God. Hallelujah. What about the all of sin? And come short of the glory of God. Have you come short of the glory of God? No, I'm born again. So that all definitely has to be glorified. So you're going to say, what all? So, get back to Luke 24. You learning something? You learning something? Alright. To believe all. To believe. All that the prophets have spoken. What the prophet? It didn't say to believe all prophets have spoken. The specific people. Specific people. The prophet. And that term the prophet is about 140 times. New Testament Greek. And just in the four gospels quoted about 100 times. I'll give you specifics next week. So, he says, ought not what? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory. So, what he says, to believe all the prophets have spoken, specific will be what? Huh? All Christ suffered and how he entered into his glory. Because that was not the only message of the prophet. Amen. There are portions of the Holy Scriptures you should not believe. Amen. Let me take that one more time in case you didn't hear it. There are portions of the Holy Scriptures. Now, when I say Holy Scriptures, you know, I'm not talking about the epistles. The epistles are not called Holy Scriptures. Praise God. I'm talking about the Old Testament books. There are things there you must not believe. For example, you know, the statements in Genesis 3, as God said, you shall not surely die. I'm not supposed to believe that. I'm not supposed to believe that. There are things I'm not supposed to believe. So, there are things there I'm not supposed to believe. Ought not Christ or somebody to say that he's Lord? So, in other words, what I am to believe is, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory from the mouth of the prophets? Glory to God. Glory to God. And that glory to God. You write it down. This is Bible. Do you know that that comment, oh sorry, that truth was not found at all on the lips of Elijah or Elijah? I'll take it one more time. The sufferings of Christ were not uttered once, not on the lips of Elijah or Elijah. You can check it yourself. So, could Jesus have been teaching from Elijah or Elisha? No. He wasn't. But he's got God of Elijah, send down fire. God of Elijah, send down fire. That's why you'll be singing that kind of song. Oh, fools, love her. Hallelujah. These are the days of Elijah. How can this be the days of Elijah? I like that song. I like to sing it, but not to the Lord. Look at this. Ought not Christ, the word ought not, is the word dei, D-E-I, Greek. It means necessary, proper, in line with. That is, it's in line with what the prophet said for Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory. So, we're laying a foundation. Make sure that you are listening. Are we to believe everything the prophet said? Huh? No. So, we can't believe all that they said. It has to be all these things that they said. Is that okay? All these things that they said. And then, we said, this is, I said earlier, I said, the study is not necessarily for, and the reason for this study is so that you can know how to understand your Bible. And I always say, when people say there are contradictions in the Bible, it's because they are not well taught. There are no contradictions. The Bible has explanations for everything that's written in there. Hallelujah. Said hallelujah. Luke's Gospel 24 one more time. And then 27. And beginning at Moses. I said the word ought not is the word dei in the Greek, which means proper, that is in line with. So it says, ought not Christ to have suffered, that is, it is proper for Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory. So, in the original Greek text, it wasn't the question. Ought not is just one word. Dehi. It is necessary for Christ to suffer these things and enter into his glory. So, he says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets. Now, Moses is a very important subject. Moses features just the person. The name of Moses features 80 times. Now remember, I said there were the prophets over 100 times. But Moses, just Moses, features 80 times. Although there are three personalities that feature most, or feature more, Moses, David, Abraham. Moses, David, Abraham. Three of them. Features so much. And many times when Moses features, not too good times. Not too good. And we'll see as we study, it's not too good. So, he says in Moses, but you notice that Moses features more in the four Gospels, one, and then the book of Hebrews. The four Gospels and the book of Hebrews. And a whole lot of times also in the book of Acts. He features less in the epistles, only the book of Hebrews. Moses and all the scriptures, all the prophets, sorry. From all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. We'll come to that. So, when it says the scriptures, now look at the sequence of the thoughts. To believe all these things that the prophet has spoken, then in 27, in all of the scriptures. So two things, spoken, said, scriptures, written. So, utterances of the prophet in all of the scriptures. Now, all of the scriptures doesn't contain just the utterances of the prophets. Are you still there? Are you still there? And not all of the utterances of the prophets spoke about the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Should I take that again? Alright. All of the scriptures, all of the scriptures is not only about what the prophet said. Other people spoke in the scriptures, they were not prophets. One, two. Not everything the prophet said was about the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Remember, just the last series we had, I explained to you what it means to rightly divide the word of truth. Which means to be very careful. You've got to be very careful. Bible study is just like a surgery. You've got to be very careful. You've got to be clinical, surgical, and you've got to be very detailed. You don't just mix stuff up. Boom, boom. For example, when people say, when they say there's a casting down, there's a lifting up. People don't bother who said it. It was one of the friends of Job that was called foolish after. Brother, when they say there's a casting down, and there's a lifting up, who said it? And why did the person say it? Let the weak say I'm strong. Let the weak say I'm strong was a prophet speaking and mocking God's enemies in the Old Testament. So okay, bring out your soldiers. Let the weak among you say I'm strong. Like, okay, say you can fight. That's what it means. Not, I'm tired. Let me say I'm strong. Amen. I said amen. So you've got to be very careful not to believe the devil, thinking you're believing God. Still out there? Look at John 1:17. John 1:17 says, the law came by Moses. Or the law was given by Moses. Now, how does that sound to you? The law was given by who? You know, this is law given by God. It says the law was given by Moses. And grace, which is truth, came by Jesus Christ. The law was given by Moses. And grace and truth came by Jesus. That's why Jesus will say much later, John 5, verse 46. For had you believed me, had you believed Moses, he says, you would have believed me. For he wrote of me. Now, look at what he said before that. Do you think that I will accuse you to the Father? Verse 45, John 5. There is one who accuses you. That word accuses you is the word categorio. It's the same word used in Revelation 12:11 to 12:10. The accuser of the brethren. And he says, the person who accuses you is who? Huh? Who? Come on, who? So, God wasn't accusing anybody. It was Moses. So, whom you trust. So, he says, Moses accused you. You trust him. You trust his accusation. Look at the next statement. What did he do? Come on. What did he say? For had you believed Moses, you will have believed me, for he wrote of me. You know, that's two different things. That is, Moses accused you, the Lord. Moses spoke of me. So, what am I supposed to trust? Moses' accusation of me or his utterances about Christ? Huh? But you know, they're all in the same pages. So, what do? I'll find out. Come on, are you still there? Are you still there? Okay, so the law was given by Moses. So Moses was quite, let's go talk about Moses a bit. Moses was a distinguished personality. And that's why we took the whole series on the law and the prophets, the first series. Look at Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3 calls him the servant. We'll find out whether Moses was a prophet. But let's go on, you know, not today. Was Moses a prophet? I'm asking. He was. Where? Where is that written? Because Jesus said, beginning at Moses and all the prophets. So there are Moses, can we say Moses, which is all the prophets? No, that won't be correct. So he makes a distinction between Moses and the prophets. That's why we're doing the study. Moses is the law. Moses was never called a prophet, but was he a prophet? We'll find out. We'll find out. In all the scriptures. Now, Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3 says in Moses, verse 5, Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant. As a servant. He was called a servant. Then again, Hebrews chapter 8. Verse 5. Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, said he, that thou makest all things according to the pattern that I showed thee on the mount. So Moses built the house. We shall see this later. We'll see this. But he's called a servant. And that's why his name, position, an entire dispensation. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Now follow this. So we examine this later. Now, he says, as Jesus, go back to Luke 24. Luke 24. So we said, was Moses a prophet? He was never called a prophet. In fact, you know, we did this study before, that he will be a God to Aaron. Aaron will be what? His prophet. Aaron was called Moses' prophet before Aaron was made a priest. He was never referred to as a prophet. It doesn't mean he was not a prophet. I'm just saying to you, he was never referred to as a prophet. Was he a prophet? Just tell us. Just relax. We'll get to that point, we know. So, look at this. It says, Moses and all the prophets, okay? I'm beginning at Moses and all the prophets. Now, the word beginning is the word arche, similar to Genesis. Okay? That already tells you that no matter what anybody says about the book of Genesis, Moses wrote it. Alright? Because Jesus said that emphatically. Arche, Moses, and all the prophets. So, he started from Genesis, Moses, and all the prophets. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, notice that word. The things. Okay? Concerning. The word concerning is the word peri in the Greek, which is concept. So, the concerning concept about himself. Now, the previous verse, what are the things about himself? Sufferings and the glory. Sufferings and the glory. So, Jesus' study was specific. Let me ask you. Is it everything in the Old Testament that's about Jesus? No. He would have used the word peri. Peri is concerning. So everything that the Bible is about Jesus, it's Christocentric, it's about no. We know what we mean when we say that. But you see, there are things there that are not about Jesus. So he's saying there were specific things that we go into, and they're about Jesus. So, he says, Moses and all the prophets. And because we had studied about Moses before now, the law and the prophets, the previous one, we will focus on the prophets this time around. So, the first thing you need to realize, just like Moses, was that when he says, Moses and all the prophets were men. That's the first thing. Now, that's just very simplistic. I know that. No, but you need to realize that the prophets were men. They didn't drop from heaven. Okay? They were men. So, because of that, we'll need to leave the veil and look at the men. Same way we did the previous teaching on this. We lifted the veil on Moses. Remember that? Remember that? We took the veil of Moses. So, go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Are you following me? Come on, guys, are you following me? 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at this. For, now, notice I've told you, always pay attention to details. Remember what I said. Moses and all the prophets. Not all prophets. That's the first thing. Remember? To believe all that the prophets have spoken. The. Amen? The specific. So, look at 2 Peter 1. 21. Let's read it together. Let's go. For prophecy came not in old time. For prophecy came not in old time. Oh, you didn't read that, did you? For prophecy came not in old time. The prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but the holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The prophecy, that means, is he talking about all the prophecies of the Old Testament? No. Specific. You following this? The prophecy. So, how do we know the prophecy? We need to read the pretext. Right? Pretext. Posttext. Context. So, what's the prophecy? just the verse before. Notice the word, the prophecy is used three times. Or the word prophecy is used three times. Verse 19, verse 20, verse 21. So they are talking about the same thing. Verse 19, verse 20, verse 21. Some folks come there and say, well, verse 21, the Bible says, prophecy does not come by the will of man. It never said that. It said the prophecy. Because today, because it's a gift of the Spirit, we prophesy by an act of our will. Because if he had said, prophecy does not come by the will of man, that would mean that Paul was wrong. Paul said, I would that you all prophesy. In fact, Joel's prophecy in the last days said, God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. So that's not what he's saying here. But he said, the prophecy, this is specific. The prophecy, what's he talking about? Verse 19, verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Sometimes when I see King James translate, I want to whip them somewhere. No prophecy of the scripture. The previous verse. 19. Let's take 19 together. Huh? We have a more sure word of prophecy. More sure. The word more sure is just one word. Bebahos. Bebaios. It means something that is confirmed. Something that is guaranteed. Confirmed. Guaranteed. Now let's look at where it's used. Bebaios. B-B-E-A. B-E-E. I'm sorry for that. B-E-B-A-I-O-S. You know, I used to get... No. Okay, look at Romans 4:16. Concerning the promise. Romans 4:16 is used for a promise. Romans 4:16. That the promise might be sure to all the seed. Might be sure. That word might be sure, same word, more sure word of prophecy. Bebios. 2 Corinthians 1:7. 2 Corinthians 1:7. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that you are partaking of suffering. Steadfast. Sure. Hope is used for hope. It's also used for the law and the punishment. For every transgression and disobedience receive, we ought to give them more energy, Hebrews 2:1, to things we have heard, lest at any time we let them sleep. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, that every transgression and disobedience, that's the word spoken by angels, was steadfast. Okay? That's not too good. Hebrews 3:6. The promise, Hebrews 3:6. The promise, Christ over his house, we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of hope, firm unto the end. The word firm, Bebels, firm. Hebrews 3:14. We hold fast the of our confidence, steadfast to the end. Hebrews 3:14, Hebrews 6:19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Then 2 Peter 1:10. So it's used for what is reliable and guaranteed. 2 Peter 1:10. Make your calling and election sure. Guaranteed. So let's go back to 2 Peter 1 again. We're there. All right. Verse 19. We have a guaranteed word of prophecy. We have a confirmed word of prophecy. We have a reliable word of prophecy. We have an assured word of prophecy. Now, that word of prophecy, is the same word, or you should use the word prophetic word. Or better still, utterance of the prophets. Because that word is logos. Okay? Utterance of the prophets. Romans 16. Same words. Romans 16, verse 26. Romans 16, 26. But now is made manifest. Let's start from 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. But now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets. Now, which scriptures of the prophets? The preaching of Jesus Christ. The revelation of the mystery. So, that's the same word. Preaching of Jesus Christ, the scriptures of the prophets. So when he says a more sure word of prophecy, he's saying the utterance of the prophets. The utterance of the prophets. So what's he talking about? Go to 2 Peter one more time. Remember we started from 21. We went to 20. Alright. We went to 19. Are we together? Alright. We went to 19. So, when it says, prophecy of the scripture. It's talking about where now? The Old Testament. Right? Come on. Because verse 21 says, prophecy, the cross came not in the old time. So, verse 19. We have also, that means it's a continuation of a statement. We have also. So what's he talking about? Verse 17. Or verse 18. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. So, who were those with him? Peter, James, and John. What did they hear? This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Who heard that? Peter, James, and John. Go to Matthew 17. Peter, James, and John. In whom I am well pleased. Matthew 17. Don't forget where we came from. The prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man. Then went to 20. No prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Then went to 19. We have a more sure word of prophecy. So went to 18. 18 says what? Huh? What we heard in the holy mouth. Okay. Now, that said is Matthew 17. When they went with Jesus, and what happened? There were three, Moses, Elijah, talking with him in a vision. That's a vision, okay? And then, they heard in verse 5, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. This is my beloved son. So, they heard that. That is, They heard from heaven that this is Jesus. This is my beloved son. So Peter is telling us, look, I was there. I heard a voice from heaven that said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. So Peter is giving his own eyewitness account. Well, why did he have to say this? The previous verse. Put your hands back. Put your hands in Matthew 17 and come back. 2 Peter 1. He says, verse 16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you what? The power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is not the rapture. We didn't follow cunningly devised fables. We were eyewitness of his emergency. So he presents what he saw on the Mount of Transfiguration. I said, you know what? It's not just about us. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. That is, what we saw was confirmed by the utterances of the prophets. Come on. You understand that? That what we heard on Mount Transfiguration had already been spoken by the prophets. Now, pay attention to that. When God says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Well pleased. So, I'm well pleased. Two words. Beloved son, agapateos, which means I've accepted him. Then he says, I am well pleased. Now, that word, I am well pleased, is vital to know what it means. I am well pleased. Pleased for what? Pleased for what? Don't forget, Peter is relating his vision with the Holy Scriptures. He's not saying, we have a more sure word of prayer that this one is surer. That's not what he's saying. He's actually authenticating his own vision with the Scriptures. And that's how it ought to be. That's how it ought to be. Not that someone will come up today. I learned a preacher of the gospel said he died. And then he went to heaven. And then he saw a woman playing piano. And when you get to heaven, Jesus sat in the middle. And Jesus is looking at everybody as they are coming. So as you are approaching, if you are not going to make heaven, you just begin to frown. The woman begin to play bad song. Then they will send you, the demons will just come and, yes, in heaven, just the demons will come and pick you and then take you to heaven, to hell. And then, if you're coming and Jesus loves you, he's smiling, the woman is playing a nice song, how great, how art, then you, at him. So, he's a very prominent preacher, he's led millions to Christ, I think. He said so. As he comes to that place and he sees Jesus, the woman is already playing a nice tune because the woman probably has been to his crusades. So, he's been announced. Then Jesus begins to frown. So he says, I'm not going to make it. Then he wakes up and God says, last chance. You know, all the visions I used to hear, God's the angry one, Jesus is the loving one. I think one is now walking in love, the other one is walking. You know, when I read that, someone sent that stuff to me. And I said, this is the joke of the year. The man should attend this church. He'll stop seeing such nightmares again. I'm telling you. You can be in the ministry for 50 years and you are not developed in the Word of God. That's not a vision, that's a fantasy. Amen. Why did I talk about it? Because it's in the public place. So I said, why not tell the man privately? No, he didn't tell me privately. He said it publicly. If you can say something publicly, we don't address it privately. We address it publicly. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. So, what was the point? He says, everything I saw or we heard has already been spoken by the prophet. What about? Concerning the Son. Concerning the Son. Because look at that. God says, this is my beloved Son. Now, in the Greek, that means it's an end to a search. This is it. That means everybody's been speaking about someone and they've been searching in their words. They said, this is it. That is, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Like a response to a search. Are you following this? Are you following this? Good. So look at 20 again, 2 Peter 1. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of private interpretation. The word private interpretation is the word private, okay, is the word idios. I-D-I-O-S. It means on its own. I-D-I-O-S. That is, all the prophecy of the scripture, they are together. It's not of any private, that's the word private, on its own interpretation. Interpretation there is not the same word emanil or diamonil. It's the word epilusis, E-P-I-L-U-S-I-S. It means a loose explanation. So, in my study, I must look out for the things that say alike. So, he's not saying all the prophecies. He says the prophecy. Now, the prophecy concerning who? Gog and Magog? Egypt? No, concerning who? The sun. He says, they are not of private, loose explanation. They are all together. That's why they are called the prophecy. It's about the prophecy of Christ. Verse 16. Concerning the or when we declared unto you the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rapture or redemption? Huh? Rapture or redemption? Redemption. So, Peter is teaching what should happen or what has happened. I'm asking? Huh? What has happened? Good. So, that means in the prophecy of the prophets, there were specific words. So in our search of scripture, we begin to look for those specific words. You know, Isaiah, we're coming to the, I don't know why I'm rushing this. Isaiah said, the Lord's hand is not heavy that it cannot save you. Isaiah said, his ears that cannot hear you, but your sins have separated you from God. Mourn, weep, lament. He's speaking to Isaiah now. You know what I'm saying? This is about the son? Yeah. Yeah, see. Who has believed our report? In whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And he says, surely he took our infirmities. Ah, that's the song. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You get that? That's the song. Yeah, now. What about the previous statement? Your sin has separated you and God. I don't believe that. Praise God. Hey, are you following this at all? I don't believe that. It can't be because God became flesh and dwelt among sinners. And the womb he used was a womb of a sinner. And he didn't die there. Where am I? The womb of a sinner. He says, Mary, get me out here now. I don't think so. I'm not. This may look a bit funny, but I don't think Mary stayed sinless for 9 months. You know, they've been crucified together. I don't think Jesus was coming out every day. I'm out for now. I can't dwell that place. I can't. And it's a sinner's body. So Isaiah, you're wrong. Praise God. Hallelujah. I hope you're getting this. So you're just looking at me like I'm speaking from the sky. Are you following what I'm saying? You don't want us to study the prophets? We are going to. All right, let's go. All right. So we are looking for specific words. I come back to, he said, holy man of God spoke as a holy. Who called them holy? The original doesn't have holy. Okay? The original doesn't have holy. said, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The word moved is the word Pharaoh. P-H-E-R-O. And I want you to notice that word. As they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, hear this. Hear this now. Hear this. Hear this. Oh, hear this. This is your one. Hear this. Oh, okay. You know, the way we say moved by the Holy Ghost, like I'm just walking on the road. I'm walking on the road. I'm walking on the road. And then the Holy Ghost, Cody, 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 Cody. Like something you can't control. Then when the Holy Ghost leaves, say, Why you prophesy that? I know where you came from. That's not the word move. The word move means to bring to. So those words were brought to them. Pharaoh, in the context, because look at this, means to bring forth. They were brought forth. So he separates things they said by saying the words concerning Christ, they were brought forth by the Holy Ghost. Now, we're going to do a study today and then later. We'll see how the Bible says they were searching. Now, the Holy Ghost can't be searching. But it says the Spirit was searching. So we'll find out what Spirit. Praise God. All right. So they were brought forth by the Holy Ghost. Words were brought forth by the Holy Ghost. Now that word, Peter using 1 Peter 1:13. 1 Peter 1:13. Gird up the loins of your mind and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The word brought unto you, same word Pharaoh, brought unto you. So, specific words, right? Right? Come on. Specific words. So, was Jesus studying all the words of the prophets? Huh? Come on. What are you talking about? Luke 24, 25. Was Jesus talking about all the words of the prophets? Specific words. Specific words. Hallelujah. That's because the prophecy. So Matthew 7:15. This is my beloved son. Why did God say that? To confirm everything they had been looking for. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Look at the word well pleased. The word well pleased is E-U-D-O-K-E-O. Eudokeo. It means to think well of, one, confirming what had been on your mind all along. What had been on your mind all along. That's the first thing. Then, is used for most qualified or someone that fits into a role. For example, you're looking for you want someone to run an organization. Then you give out a list of requirements, a vacancy. Some guys come in and they come in and you say, oh, no, you don't have a master's degree, you don't do this one. Then somebody comes in that ticks all the boxes. They say, oh, that's an Eudokeo. That is, all the while in my mind, when I was looking for a manager, this is the person. So all the while, when there was a search in the old covenant, this is the person. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? Now, whom I am well pleased. Pay attention now. Well pleased for what? To suffer and enter into the glory. Is that clear? This is the person well pleased for the prophecy. This is the person fitted for the prophecies. Now, which prophecy now? Prophecy concerning the fall of Jerusalem. Prophecy concerning the death of Ahab. Prophecy, you know, that's the things we build their sermons over. Prophecy concerning what? Sufferings of Christ and the glory that shall follow. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So, the word hidokeo is a my determined choice. That's why in Matthew 17:5, he said, hear ye him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, hear him. You know, the word hear him is the word heed to. Pay attention to him. Where you take all his words. He couldn't have said that about the prophets. But he said that about the Son. That in whom he is well pleased. That is, I've fitted this one. I've made him qualified for this role. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Go back to Luke 24. Alright, so, he says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Did Jesus teach all the scriptures, or he taught from all the scriptures about himself? That means there's some portion of the Old Testament you ignore. You ignore them. You ignore it. You just ignore it. Are you following what I'm saying here? Because you ignore it. So, there's someone there. 6. I've heard someone say, 6 lessons from the Son die. The Son there? You don't even know the Son there. It's in the Bible. 6 lessons. Huh? The fall of Lucifer. 8 things to learn from it. Eh? Number 1. Pride. Brother, are you proud? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, I'll lay a foundation this week next week. When we begin to look at the prophets, don't let your heart be shaking. Say, eh? Because we are not to believe all that they say. We can't believe all they said. You know, Amos said, has there been evil in the land and the Lord hasn't done it? And I say, Amos, you need to attend membership class. Not true? Hey, what Amos? Yeah, Amos. Has the Lord done anything? Has there been evil in the land? The Lord has not done it. Looks more like a verse in the Quran. Did Jesus expect us to believe that? Huh? Was that spoken by the Spirit of God? Don't be quick yet to say that. Oh, you will get to that, right? But Amos the prophet. And Amos said, hallelujah. Praise God. So where are we now? I said, look at Luke 24 again. Luke 24. You learning something? Alright, Luke 24. It says, the things concerning himself. Himself. Verse 44. These are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled. Are you there? Is it all things or all these things? Huh? All these things. Which are the things? That means there are things the prophet said that will never be fulfilled. In Jesus' name. all these things concerning Christ. Be fulfilled. Which were written where? Huh? You know, he can't be saying all the things written in the law of Moses will be fulfilled. No. All these things that are in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Concerning me. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Concerning me. So, let's go further. We said, are we to believe all that the prophet said? No. Are we to believe they said it? Yes. Can we learn from it? Yes. Learning from it is not believing it. I can learn from it. I can learn from it. But I don't believe it. Look at John. John the Baptist. John the Baptist is a senior prefect of all the prophets. Ed Ball, MD of the prophetic company of the Old Testament. He says, he that comes after me is greater than I. I baptize with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Dear friend of mine, well, he used to be a friend of mine. I know him. He's preaching in a meeting one day. He said, all you people know is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said, God has sent me. He has sent me. The Holy Spirit spoke to me to come and bring back the baptism of fire. I said, yeah? He doesn't know what he's talking about. Baptism of fire means to destroy. So John said that. So he will baptize with the Holy Ghost and fire. Holy Ghost, fire. No, here there's two things. Holy Ghost, praise the fire. And Jesus did not quote the fire part concerning me. Hallelujah. He didn't quote the fire part. Jesus said, John Bradley, I mean, no, Jesus never promised fire. He promised the Holy Ghost. But John promised fire. So he better fulfill it himself. Are you there? He said the fire is in his hand. He will punch. Jesus said that the Son of Man has not come to destroy, but to save. So Jesus left out the fire part and took the Holy Ghost part. And that's how we're going to study the prophets. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? Remember, Isaiah. Isaiah. Or like we say in Yoruba, Isaiah. Isaiah said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me. He went on and on to declare the assembly of the Lord and the year of the Lord's vengeance. You know, those guys just couldn't contain it. They'll speak good news. And they'll finish it up with bad news. The year of the Lord's vengeance. You know, you can't be talking good news, raising your voice like that. So, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. To preach good tidings. Open the blind eyes. Set at liberty those who are bruised. To declare the acceptable year of the Lord. You know, they just couldn't hold it. It's too calm a sermon. And the year of the Lord's vengeance. And Jesus left that portion out. Because he's to teach concerning himself. God did not send his Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Hallelujah. Amen. You follow what I'm saying? So we don't, even John, we don't believe all he said. And John in prison one time, he said, go and ask Jesus, are you the one to come or should we expect another? And he said, Jesus said, come, come. Blind eyes open, deaf ears and stuff. Go tell John. Blessed is the man that is not offended in me. You know. Because John left Christ and he focused on Herod. Herod! A whole TV program on the president of Nigeria. Who sent you? State of the Nation address. I want to address the nation. Man of God. And you are using money for the gospel to address the nation. It's not about the gospel. What to declare today? I said, the Spirit of God! So, address the nation. Bros, it's not Spirit of God. That is you. Hallelujah. Want to address the nation? You go to Aso Rock and address the nation. Hallelujah. John got it wrong. John said, I will decrease, he will increase. He decreased for some time. He said, no, I can't take this. He decided to increase. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Are you still there? Okay. So, Jesus left out Isaiah's words. Jesus left out John's words, John the Baptist. Hallelujah. Go to 2 Peter. 1 Peter 1. You learning something here? Are you learning something here? 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1. Look at verse 9. Receiving the end of your salvation, of your faith, the salvation of souls. Notice, it says salvation of souls. The end of your faith. The word receiving is the word komizo. K-O-M-I-Z-O. Okay? It's not the same word as lambano. This one is komizo. It means to get back something that was lost. To recover. And I'll just give you text where it's used. 1 Peter 5:4. Komizo. Matthew 25:27. The parable of the talents. That is the interest. Luke 7:37. The alabaster box. 2 Corinthians 5:10. The deeds done in the body. It's used for a reward. A reward. Something you get back. You obtain a reward, a salary, something like that. Ephesians 6:8, when you do good, you receive it back. Colossians 3:25, reward for doing wrong. Hebrews 10:36, promise. Hebrews 11:19, receiving Isaac back in a figure. Hebrews 11:19. Hebrews 11:39, what was promised. So he's saying, well, to receive back something. What is it? It says the end of your faith. That word is telos. Like a consummation or a fulfillment. A fulfillment, a consummation. Like an obligation that was fulfilled. Okay? So, what does it mean? It says the salvation of souls. In other words, the consummation of what was promised was a salvation of souls. So, we're going to see in a moment that what consummates all that the prophet said, okay, is a salvation. He said the salvation of your soul. The salvation of souls. That is, the prophecies of the scriptures, we're going to see now, was fulfilled in the salvation of souls. We have received the fulfillment of the prophecies. Why? The verse 10. Of which salvation, are you in verse 10? Are you in verse 10? Let's read together. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently who prophesy of a grace that should come unto you. Searching what, verse 11, or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them, they signify, were testified beforehand, the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. So notice some terms. Number one, he mentions the prophets. Don't forget who the prophets are. Then he said they searched and they inquired. Then he says they prophesied of the grace that will come to you. Now, notice verse 9 says, you receive the end of your faith. So, they'll prophesy of the grace that will come to you. So, we must study those words. Quickly look at verse 12. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, with things the angels desire to look into. Now, let's quickly look at some word studies. The first word we're going to examine here, because if you don't understand the meaning of the words, you don't understand what he's talking about. The word is inquired. Inquired is the word ekzeteo. E-K-Z-E-T-E-O. It means to seek out for a personal interest. Or better still, a personal desire. So, what were the prophets? Now, the prophets were men. So, what were they seeking for? Look at it. What were they seeking for? Look at it. What? What were they seeking for? Look at it. It's there. Start from 9 and read to 10. What is consistent in those verses? So, the prophets were seeking for what? Don't forget. As it is personal desire. So, the prophets were seeking for salvation. Whose salvation? Their salvation. Is it possible to be a prophet in the old covenant and not be saved? Ask a question. Is it possible? Is it possible to prophesy under the old covenant and not be saved? Thank you. We'll come to that. So, they were seeking for salvation. They were seeking for salvation. Second word. Search diligently. Search diligently is the word E-X-E-R-A-U-N-A-O. E-X-E-R-A-U-N-A-O. It means to carefully search. Again, what were they searching for? What were they searching for? Now, somebody who is searching, whenever you have the word exeteo, and then the word exeruano, they will be posing questions. Questions. Queries. So, they were asking questions. So, within the words of the prophets, we'll find questions. Because they were what? Searching. So, the Old Testament books, the prophets, contains words of men who were looking for what? Salvation. And he says, we have received the end of a faith, which is the salvation of souls. Let me see if you're following what I'm saying here. Is this clear to you? So, they were searching. So, get that in your mind that the prophets were searching. They were looking for answers. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Let me ask you. Is it possible for John the Baptist not to have been saved? Big question. Is it possible for John the Baptist not to have been saved? Why are you quiet? All right, let me ask. Is it possible for Judas? No, he wasn't saved. Was Judas saved? Huh? Did he work miracles? Did he preach about Jesus? Did Judas preach Christ? He preached about the kingdom of God. But was he saved? Did he believe? So I'm asking, is it possible for John the Baptist not to have been saved? I didn't say John wasn't saved. I'm just asking the question. I'm also inquiring. Kind of think like that, right? Okay? So, put that in the back of your mind. Okay? Who prophesied of the grace unto you? That word that should come is italicized. Who prophesied of the grace unto you? Or better still, that is towards you or is with you. Look at the next word, verse 11. Read it now. Verse 11. Searching. So, he really wants you to pay attention to the word searching. Searching. Two times. Searching what? Or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ. That word what is an old Greek word, T-I-S. It's used for, it's an interrogative pronoun. Like saying which, who, what, or why. But I submit to you, you should be searching who. Who. Because their prophecy was about a person. So, searching who. So, searching who, or, the word R is E-I, or, yep, E, sorry, just E. 346 times, it means rather. Searching who or rather. The manner of time. Or better still, the word manner is the word poios, Greek, P-O-I-O-S. It means what sort. Or better still, kind of. Time. Time there is kairos, which is opportunity. So, two things. They were looking for who. And much more, when. Who is the Savior? When is the salvation? So, in their prophecies, we will find out a search for who, and much more, when. That is, what will bring salvation? What will happen that will bring salvation? Who or when? So, in our careful study, which we're going to do, we'll look at their words as searching who and when. Key things in their words. Pay attention now. When his salvation, or, I put in my note, or the end of it. End will be what? Finish or fulfillment? Huh? Fulfillment. So two things. How is salvation accomplished? And who is the subject matter? So, follow this now. A key fact of their prophecies was their search. So, if someone is searching, because he is searching, he will be learning. Are you following this? Come on, are you following this? He will be learning. I must not take his learning as a conclusion. Are you following what I'm saying here? Come on, guys, you following this at all? I must not take his search as a conclusion. So there will be things written in the Old Testament that are not conclusions. It's a search. So when you hold the book of the prophets, you must know how to use it. You must. Look at Hebrews 1. I just cut short the whole thing I wanted to say because of time. Hebrews 1. So I guess next week I'll focus more on that. So you must know that they were searching. They were searching. All the prophets. Does that include David? Huh? Does that include David? You know, Samuel was so mentioned in 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. But he has no place in this. He has none. Samuel has no place. Because we have no utterance of it. Not one concerning Christ. He spoke concerning David, and that was it. So, when I study the Old Testament prophets, I must be very careful what I'm following and what I should not follow. I know some guys, their favorite prophets are Elijah and Elisha. It's because they are carnally minded. Elijah and Elisha. That's their favorite prophet. Well, there's a song. Send another Elijah, Lord, and let your fire fall. Send the fire, also send the rain to raise the dead, heal the sick, and glorify your name. Lord, I want to be another Elijah too. One Elijah was enough trouble. You know, there was a day, we'll look at it next week. There was a day, Jesus' disciples told him, can't you call fire down? And he looked at them, and the Bible says he rebuked them, the Greek word epetemesai, which means the same word he used for demons. Eli what? How do you say it? Like, Eli what? Eli. He screamed at them. We'll see why. Know ye not the spirit that you are of. The Son of Man has not come to destroy. Hallelujah. We look at the prophets one by one. Praise the Lord. Amen. So watch this now. Hebrews 1:1. Now, this is how I know whether you have been concentrating or not. Wait. Who did Peter say, or spoke? God or the prophets? Huh? Prophets. Who did Jesus say spoke? The prophets. Right? Good. Now, there's something here that looks contradictory. Hebrews 1:1. Let's read it together. Everybody, let's go. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in part by the fathers by the prophets, and in this last day spoken unto us in his Son. That gives us the impression that God spoke two times. He spoke in the prophets. Alright? Then he spoke in his Son. He now gives people the impression that, you know, the God of the Old Testament is not the God of the New Testament. The God of the Old Testament used to move very fast. New Testament is a God of grace. Well, this is a very different text. The first thing is that the original of this portion of the Bible does not start with God. I remember years ago I questioned this because I knew that the Greek language cannot start a statement with God for many reasons. It's totally out of sync with the grammar. It should be the or a or therefore. That's the Greek language. Are you following me? So look at it. What we've read so far said the prophet spoke. He never said God spoke. Rather, what Peter said was that the prophet confirmed what God said. Because, you know, I thought we read Luke 24. To believe all that the prophet had spoken. Right? And then 1 Peter, 2 Peter, they spoke, they prophesied the prophecy of the scriptures of the prophets. Because the minute you call it God spoke, that will be the scriptures of God. Are you there? God is not the one prophesying, so he couldn't be the one speaking. So, that will lead us to look at that text again. Now, what was he talking about? God was sundry times and in diverse manners, spoke in time past. Time past is palai in the Greek, P-A-L-A-I. It means of old or former. Long ago or former. Then, notice what he said, spoke in time past. That word is a past tense word, lalio, which is the same word used in verse 2, which means has spoken. Has spoken. So, we can use past tense for what God has spoken in the prophets. No. Now look at the two words. He says it sundry times, polymeros, divers manners, polytropos. Polytropos means partial. 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 That can't be God, because the Bible says God is light, in him is no darkness at all. If you are partial, that means there's darkness and light. Partial can only come in the prophecy. I say he spoke in his son. He says his son is the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. So we need to reconstruct that verse. It's not God who spoke, it's the prophets who spoke. Because that will confirm what we have been learning so far. Because they were searching, so they had to have polymeros and polytropos. God is not searching. The prophet spoke. So, verse 2, don't forget that this letter did not have verses. So, verse 2 should be, God as in this last day. So, we'll reconstruct that verse for you later. So, God has in these last days spoken in his son. Glory to God. What's the difference? The difference is, In verse 1, words. Verse 2, a person. Right? Verse 1 will be words. Verse 2, a person. When he said he spoke in his son, he's talking about the words of Jesus or the person of Jesus. Huh? Because he's not prophesying. Is the prophets that prophesy? Amen? Is that clear? He's not prophesying. It's the prophets that prophesy. So, he spoke in his son. Verse 1. He spoke in time past. That word laleo in the continuous is used for something that was said repeatedly. But verse 2 is once. He spoke in his son. So, we'll study that next week. So, God's not the one who spoke in partial truth. In him is no darkness at all. There are no shadows in him. Hallelujah. Remember, John 1:1. The beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He says in him was what? Life. And the life was the light. Hallelujah. Of men. The light shines in darkness and darkness couldn't comprehend it. God doesn't do shadows. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? God doesn't do shadows. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came to bear witness of the light. He was not the true light. That is the testimony of all the prophets. They are witnesses, not the light. So God doesn't do shadows. So the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Hallelujah. So God doesn't do shadows. When you find those partial truths in the Old Testament, we're going to see, it wasn't God speaking, it was the prophet that was speaking. That's why it's called the words of the prophets. God spoke in his son. Hallelujah. I said God spoke in his son. The word didn't come to the flesh, in flesh, until Jesus came. God spoke in his son. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Second Peter 1, quickly. So, quickly, let's see something. The prophets were men, messengers. So, Hebrews 1:1, prophets. Hebrews 1:2, the son. And they are both man. Right? Correct? One, the messenger. The other, the message. So, the messenger will always speak in partial revelation because there were many of them. But the message is clear, light, and has no shadows at all. So he says, I'll close here. This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. He says, hear ye him. So in Christ is the interpretation of all the partial truths. We will read the prophets in the light of the truth. In the light of the light. That's what we do. So, in him is no darkness at all. We saw that much later. But so, quickly, let's see. 2 Peter 1. We have also, verse 19, a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star
arise in your heart. In other words, he's talking about a progressive insight into truth. The day dawn, the day star. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. That is, they all stand together. So, let's take some key facts as we close. Note this. That the Holy Ghost was not given until Jesus rose from the dead. The Holy Ghost was not given until Jesus was raised from the dead. John 7, 38 and 39. The Holy Ghost was only given in Christ. John 16, 12, verse 12. Let's read that together. John 16, 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, he's come. So until this, he had never come. Until now. Until he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all of the truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. So he speaks of the Spirit. Okay? That will guide into all. Notice the word all. The word all of the truth. So the Spirit of truth does not do shadows. The Spirit of truth does not do shadows. The Spirit of truth does not do types. The Spirit of truth does a complete unveiling. So what was in those guys? That's what we're going to find out. That was the Old Testament, folks. What was on them? Do they have the same spirit that we have today? Of course not. Because the Spirit of truth does not do shadows. The Spirit of truth unveils all of the truth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Are you blessed? Things to think about, right? That's what the Bible is about. You think. So, in closing, today, we can see that the prophets were seeking salvation. And they had questions. Those questions, were they being asked by the Spirit of truth? No. They were not. So we'll study it. We'll look at it together. So the next time you handle anything said by anyone in the old covenant, you won't get scared. You won't feel this contradicts anything, does it? It just confirms that Christ is the message of the Bible. It just confirms that in Him was life. The life was a light of all men, including the prophets. Unless you see what we have in our hands. Many of us don't treasure the fact that what we hold in our hands is the answer of several thousands of years of searching. Peter says we have received the end of that faith, the salvation of souls. So when we study the prophets, do we have the license to correct them? Do we have the license to correct the prophets? Yes, we do. We can correct the prophets. We've corrected John. We can correct Isaiah, Jeremiah, Joel, David, and all of them. Imagine David. Let me close on this one. David heard a prophet say to him that he will not build the house because he had blood in his hands. can that be true? But he believed it. But then the same David will say, blessed is the man to whom God will not impute sin. Why is there a contradiction? Then one day, he is speaking. Says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He wasn't building a house. Solomon was building the house. He's speaking the spirit of prophecy. The house that Christ builds. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why are people using for the grace today? Ignorance, come to seed. You went all the way back to those who were searching for salvation. We are the house today. The writer of Hebrews says, Christ has made a son over the house, whose house we are. Hallelujah. So, why was he believing the prophet? Because he was searching. He was equally searching. He even put down money. He put down money for them to build the Solomon's temple. Where is the Solomon's temple now? But David is in the house. I said, David is in the house. And you are in the house too. Because the house of God is not a building, it's a family. Praise God. I said, praise God. Hallelujah. Are you blessed this morning? Lift your hands toward heaven and worship them.